You're listening to Aero News. I'm Pete Combs. Has the space shuttle fleet outlived its usefulness? Peter Diamandis thinks so. The founder of the XPRIZE competition says now is the time to start developing a full-blown commercial space program. In an exclusive interview with Aero News, Diamandis says the government's efforts to develop another vehicle for orbital flight would be better spent on helping foster commercial space operations. I spoke with Diamandis at the EAA's Air Venture 2005 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
It's unfortunate and unnecessary that we're in this situation. A country like the United States, and with a $14 to $15 billion a year budget, we need to have a multitude of options for getting to space. We need not one way of getting to orbit, but three or four. And frankly, they should all be commercial. And the government should become an anchor customer for that, buying seats, if you would, to go to space the same way we buy airline seats. We don't have a national airline that flies our government employees around. They buy flights on American, United, Delta, and so forth.
The situation with regard to the shuttle is, you said something about it being experimental in nature. Let's go over that again.
If you think about it, the space shuttle has only flown about 100 flights. It's a 30-plus-year-old vehicle, but has been flying so infrequently that it's really still being shaken out. If you think about the fact that a new airplane will fly thousands of flights before the first passenger gets on board, it's not unreasonable that we're still having troubles. You know, when you're flying only two, three, at maximum four times a year, and you've got a standing army of 20,000 people, we only have a small amount of experience under our belt. This is still an experimental research vehicle. It is not a routine mechanism for getting into space.
It was designed specifically to be a routine mechanism to get into space.
It was designed in the late 70s after we had been to the moon, and we cut that program off, and the promises made back then were we'd have a vehicle that would fly 50 times a year into space, and the price in the tens of millions of dollars. Now we have a vehicle that flies, you know, three times, four times a year at almost $1 billion a flight. And the fact is that the government alone is not a large enough market to demand a higher flight rate. You know, NASA can get away with four, five, six flights a year, and that's fine. The same way that every other large government program, DARPANET, would never have become the internet were it not for people, you know, trading songs or sending emails. It's the large consumer market. It's capitalism at work that creates robust, low-cost, reliable systems. Same thing with computers. You know, we had room-sized computers owned by the government for doing IRS or doing targeting for large military systems. And it wasn't until you had, you know, Jobs and Wozniak and people playing video games that you got a computer that boots up every time. It's reliable. You know, you can buy it for under $800.
The solution then is to make it a more commercial effort for the government to turn over space, in essence, to private enterprise?
I think the solution is that the personal spaceflight marketplace, the only large enough marketplace for driving demand, is people. If you think about it, the commercial market for launching satellites worldwide this year, last year, is somewhere between 12 to 18 launches globally. If you count up the number of commercial launch companies out there in China and Russia and Japan and the United States and so forth, there's about 15 commercial launchers. That's one customer per company per year. That's not a commercial marketplace. The only market large enough is people. And I think that eventually we'll get to the point where the government is a small amount of the market. They will benefit tremendously from the economies of scale. And they'll, you know, hop on a commercial launcher the same way you'll hop on a commercial airline.
Can we ever achieve economies of scale in space?
Sure. There's no question. We can achieve economies of scale because if you think about it, the things which we value most on Earth, metals and minerals and energy and real estate, are in infinite quantities in space. And, you know, we will go out there, we will mine the asteroids, we will gather energy, and we'll bring them back here to the people of Earth. Now, it's in the long term. Can I pause for a second?
Go ahead.
Thanks. Bye. Of course, we will achieve economies of scale. We'll do that by actually going and taking advantage of all the tremendous resources that space has to offer us. Today, we only can rationalize, 4 to 6 flights for scientific research purposes of the government. But in the long term, as we start to really go out there and take advantages of what space has to offer, mining metals and minerals and energy and real estate that's out there, the same way that Europeans came to the Americas 500 years ago, the same thing will happen. We are, as humans and as Americans, we are explorers. And space is the greatest frontier we've ever had ahead of us. We'll get there, and the government will benefit tremendously from commercial operations.
Peter, is the space shuttle program dead, or should it be put down at this point?
I think NASA has reached the conclusion that the space shuttle program needs to be put to bed. It needs to be put down. It has an important mission to finish the space station, and that will happen over the next 3 or 4 years. I think that's important because there's been so much invested, and we need to learn what we can from long-duration space day to get us to the moon and Mars efficiently. But we need a new generation of vehicles. The biggest difficulty that NASA has, frankly, is an inability to really innovate, an inability to take risk. We're living in a very risk-averse society today. And in order to have real breakthroughs, you need to have risk. Unfortunately, when something goes wrong, there is a congressional investigation for a government agency. When things go wrong with private corporations, you get a shuttle, you get the a shocking effect that sends their stock price into a dive. And so you end up in a situation which, where can you really get the breakthroughs? Where can you risk literally life and limb to accomplish something that is dramatically different? And that finally comes from the entrepreneurs, the small companies, the companies that went after the $10 million Ansari X Prize, where people are willing to risk life and limb and everything because it is their passion, they believe in it, and for God's sakes, it's something that is their mission in life. And for that, they're willing to risk everything.
Has the government itself made it almost impossible to fly the shuttles?
I think that the inability to take risk has made it extremely difficult. Frankly, we can't afford to lose another shuttle. You end up – there's a double standard right now that exists. We can lose people in warfare. We can lose people on the roads, 50,000 people in the United States a year. But we lose someone in space, and everybody panics. And frankly – I think that double standard is ridiculous. These people know what they're doing. They've committed their lives to this mission, and they'd be the first ones to say, hop on the shuttle and fly it again. I think we fool ourselves if we think that we shut things down for 2.5 years and the shuttle is a safer vehicle. I think that we're going to get a safer vehicle once we develop a number of new ones and fly them frequently. And the thought that we spend $1 billion per launch on those vehicles when, the genius of folks like Burt Rutan and others could literally for $1 billion develop a brand new system and begin flying it, that's what gets me really concerned.
Has the shuttle program, it seems to me almost unrealistic, Peter, that you would expect to fly a space shuttle, that complex a system, with that sort of mission, and not have some amount of damage, some problem. Is NASA just unrealistic in trying to create the shuttle program to be as safe as they want it to be?
The shuttle is a very complex system that's 30-year-old-plus technology that's operated by an army of 20,000 people. You're going to have problems. And in fact, there are going to be problems that we don't even know exist that aren't going to bite us because we'll be lucky time and time again. And that's what you call a research aircraft. And that's what the space shuttle still is. And it's okay. That's fine. It's fine that it's a research aircraft, and it's fine that we fly it. but please don't, you know, label this thing as an operational vehicle when it's not. Not until we really begin flying tens and hundreds and thousands of flights per year with a variety of vehicles that build up a safety record. You know, one of the things that really is concerning is the cost of getting into space over the last 30 years has arguably gone up, and reliability has either remained the same or gone down. And that's, you know, that's a very sad situation we're in.
The expectation that we'll be able to create a shuttle mission where there are no foam incidents, where there are no anomalies that would stop future missions, is that realistic?
You know, the foam is just one of probably dozens of things that are going on that we either know about and are not discussing or don't know about. And can we make the vehicle a safer vehicle? Sure. We can throw more computing power, more minds at it. We can, you know, polish this ship as long as we want. But is that really what you want to do versus starting with a clean sheet? You know, the world has changed a lot in 30 years. We've learned a tremendous amount. And more importantly, we have some geniuses out there with, if given the right incentives and told to really try and innovate, could bring about some breakthroughs. And unfortunately, the large aerospace companies are not motivated for that. They're motivated for small incremental improvements, not for radical breakthroughs.
NASA wants to create another government vehicle within the next 8 to 10 years. To replace the shuttle, but it would be another government vehicle. It would not be a private enterprise vehicle. Is now the time to start really reaching out to private enterprise to create the next generation of space vehicles?
I think that what is needed is really a portfolio approach. I mean, clearly NASA needs some kind of assured access. It needs to know that without doubt there's going to be something that replaces the space shuttle, because as a nation we can't depend on foreign lift into space. But at the same time, one of the things that we had tremendous success with the XPRIZE was really sending out a challenge that was significant enough and allowing entrepreneurs to meet that challenge in unknown ways. And so one of the things that we've talked about with the administration is let's create some prizes, $100 million prizes, even a $1 billion prize that's out there that might attract three or four players to develop capabilities that, you know, end of the day, maybe they're just the same, but maybe there's some radical breakthroughs. And maybe what we end up as a nation is with three or four different ways of getting to orbit, and that would be a great thing.
Now, when you say three or four players, we're talking Boeing, Lockheed, Northrop.
I think that we're talking about entrepreneurs. I think we're talking about folks like Rutan, folks like Elon Musk, folks like Jeff Bezos, the well-heeled players. We're at a very unique period in time right now. We're at a time where there is enough cash, enough concentrated wealth in the hands of individuals, and the technology for designing and building spaceships is also there. You know, Elon, who's one of our board members of the XPRIZE and a good friend, is building a spaceship in a rented facility in El Segundo, a few miles from LAX. Everything he needs, he's building there in his shop. And he's got the cash to do it. You know, Bert Rutan, again, a very similar situation in Mojave, and Jeff Bezos up in Seattle, down in Texas. It's unique that it doesn't take a government agency and the capabilities of a nation to build a way of getting into space anymore.
Last question. I know that that Bert Rutan's operation and his collaboration with Sir Richard Branson has been somewhat impeded by the inability to transfer technology to the United Kingdom, one of our dearest allies. To make this vision of a commercial space venture work, are you going to have to get around some of that, some of those regulations?
Well, I think you don't need to get around the regulations to make it work here in the United States, but I think the current State Department rules that prohibit this transfer of technology could kill innovation in the United States. I think one of the things, we are in a global economy right now. The markets outside the United States are arguably moving far more rapidly than they are inside the U.S. What will happen is if we keep our protectionist attitude, people will start building these capabilities more effectively in Russia and China and India and other locations, and we'll lose the market race.
XPRIZE founder Peter Diamandis in an exclusive interview with Aeronews here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm ANN Senior Editor Pete Combs. You can read all of today's news on the web at www.aero.net.